You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, my name is David Bryan, and this is Curiosity Invited, a podcast inspired by endless curiosity. Tune in for an open-minded conversation about interesting and important things. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Curiosity Invited. My name is David Bryan, and I'm assuming the other face on the screen is familiar to people. And if not, where have you been? This is Karen Bass, the mayor of Los Angeles, and Truth in Advertising. We are old friends, and the occasion for this conversation is I will be candid. I hear a lot of confused information. People saying, repeating all sorts of things that are incorrect, and I want to give Karen as much of a forum as she can have, although I suspect she has many, to give responses to all sorts of things and set things straight. So Karen, thank you, or Mayor Bass, thank you. But I'm going to call you Karen just because it's just, I cannot.
That's how you know me.
It is how I know you. So hi and welcome and hi. Thanks. And thanks for doing this again.
Even if it is on a screen.
Yes, on a screen and on a Sunday morning. Bless your heart.
Well, it was an exciting Sunday morning in Los Angeles today. Just kicking off the marathon.
Yeah.
And up really early. But hey, I think about those thousands of runners.
Oh, my God.
That were up far earlier than me.
Unbelievable. And you don't have to run that full.
Oh, no. I couldn't even run down the street. Oh. I could ride my bicycle.
There you go.
I'm not a runner.
Anyway, really good to see you. And good to see you smiling without the president sitting on your left side, at least on the television screen.
That's right.
You were remarkably congenial and restrained. I was super impressed. I think at least you can start. We can start wherever you want, but the first questions the first conversation has to do with the fires and so much of the stretched information, misinformation, et cetera, et cetera. So, the first question that came up is so there was this controversy over your being out of the country because God knows the mayor, you don't get to sleep. The mayor of Los Angeles does not get to sleep. Does not get to go anyplace, does not get to vacation. But so you were out of the country and people wanted to make a lot of hay out of that. So what the hell is that all about?
Well, you know what I think it's about? It's about grieving. You know, I mean, there were thousands of people at different parts of our county. You know, for me, I govern Palisades because that's in the city. Malibu is a separate city. Altadena is unincorporated areas. But, you know, to go from one day to the next and lose everything you've had. And it's not just you losing the physicalness of your home or what was in the home. It's the history. It's the memories. It's the sense of belonging. And
absolutely.
And depending on where you are in the lifespan, you know, you had people who were in their 70s, 80s and 90s. Who then lose their home and how can they even think about rebuilding? You had children who not only lost their home, but lost their school and then they lose all their friends.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to high school students from Palisades and Altadena. And it just struck me, some of them were seniors. And I realized in talking to them, they missed their middle school graduation because of COVID.
Oh,
well. They were out of school and their friends were displaced because of COVID for 3 years.
Right.
Here they are. Their home, and then in some instances, their school too.
Yeah.
And just thinking of all of the psychological trauma and grieving that people were doing. And, you know, the stages of grief, they don't happen in sequence. And one of those stages is anger. Right. And I think I received a fair amount of that. I was out of the country, and I think the first thought was, why on earth was I out of the country? And I was out of the country at the invitation of President Biden.
Right.
He asked me to participate in a presidential delegation for the inauguration of the president of Ghana.
Right.
Concern was, given that, didn't I know that the city, you know, that these wildfires were a danger, and I did not. Otherwise, I wouldn't have even been in San Diego, let alone in another country. And I got back as fast as I could. But I think some people don't quite realize how far away Ghana is. It took me 17 hours to come home. And but while on my way home, I was in communication the whole time. I was on a military plane, so I was able to talk by phone as well as text. But I viewed it as, you know, people were angry, and I understood.
Well, I think that's a generous response on your part. I get it. And I think you're probably right. Some people obviously are angry, right? I mean, it's, you know, you got to look around for somebody to, can't just be angry. It's got to be directed. It ends up being directed somewhere. And,
you know,
and then there's it's the part that I think is, it really does strike me as irrational. I mean, I recognize that in times of crisis, there are people coordinating, and there are people making judgment calls about things. But, you know, I know you to be capable in all sorts of ways from our history together, but fire management is not one of them. And so let's say you were there. I mean, like, what is it that you would have been doing that? I mean, I would want you, as the mayor of my city, would be like, okay, could you step out of the way and make sure that the person who really understands what's happening here is making the calls? Because that's the part about it that's just like, wait, what are you talking about? She's on the phone the whole time. And what do you want her to do?
Well, you know, I think that the difficult part, again, the first part I understand. The difficult part in our world today, everyone is a journalist. Whatever people put online is real. Yeah. There's no delineation between truth and falsehoods.
Right.
So people that deliberately took advantage of it,
totally
spread ideological agendas or to self-promote, that's the difficult part of it. Because yeah. I think that, you know, when people are traumatized because of the loss, to then intentionally spread misinformation or disinformation, that is preying upon people's grief.
Right.
And have been and continue to be saddened by that. So what that means is that I have to spend a great deal of time, which I think is very important, communicating, you know, for example, we do webinars twice a week with people from Palisades, just exclusively for them. And hundreds of people get on the webinars, and we do it and just pile on information. So for example, if people want to know about FEMA, if they want to know about debris removal, if they want to know about their insurance, we go to the decision makers, the head of the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, our insurance commissioner, you know, the head of FEMA, the regional head of FEMA. We bring those people to folks from Palisades so they can hear factual information.
And are they able to interact? I mean, are there is like a question, you know, they can leave their questions and et cetera, et cetera.
There is, and we've received hundreds, if not thousands, of questions.
Oh, but
what we do on top of it is we transcribe all of the questions, and we distribute them to the hundreds of people.
Yeah.
In some cases, I'm sure our database now is a couple of thousand. So we give them in writing the answers.
Right.
I think that it's critically important to over-communicate, because if you just rely on this, if you rely on your phone, it's no telling what you are hearing.
Yeah.
And in the world today, you know, some of the disinformation is absolutely intentional. And I think that's sad, because it's preying upon people in their grief.
Right. And it's preying upon people, and it's entirely opportunistic. And I remember hearing, I was shocked, actually. I remember hearing during the fires, I mean, it was raging still. People were still not all the people who ended up being evacuated were evacuated yet. So there was still active fire suppression. And you know, your former running opponent was a long interview. And it's like, what are you doing? What are you doing? And what are you talking about? And by the way, when did you become a fire expert? But at any rate, and
let me tell you what we were doing in response in the middle of this. A little over a week after while the fires were still going on, actually, we set up a disaster recovery center on Pico and Westwood. It's still open. You know, the old West Side Pavilion?
Oh, yeah.
That turned into, David, since you've been gone, Google bought it and they were going to turn it into a big headquarters. But then the pandemic hit and no one wanted to come back to work. Well, so they sold it to UCLA. And you have to follow this, by the way. It'd be great to do a podcast with the people because they're turning that into probably, it will be one of the premier research institutions in our country. And how important is that now, considering what's going on? Yeah. See, and so they allowed us to have some space there, and every federal agency that you could think of is located, state agency, county, city, as well as nonprofits. So you can go in, get your driver's license replaced, your social security card, your passport. You know, again, just thinking of
this is all in response to the fire, disruption.
For those people who lost
everything,
you know, FEMA is there. The SBA is there. Everybody is there.
All in one spot.
Yes. And because of that, and by the way, more than 7,000 people have been through that. Sometimes we have mental health support there too, because sometimes people come in and decompensate, and there's people who can rush over to them and move them in a quiet space and allow them to, you know, get it back together. And then go, you know, to the various tables. So it's things like that we're doing that unfortunately does not really get the publicity that it needs so that people need these resources can get them. A few weeks after that, I opened up a one-stop rebuilding center. That's also in West LA because we want people thinking about the future. We want them beginning their planning and their permitting process right now. And we opened that a couple of weeks ago. And then after that, we opened up four centers around the city, one in West L.A., Boyle Heights, South L.A., and Sylmar. And those centers are for impacted workers and families. So do you think about this? All of the people that worked in the homes, the people that worked on the property, and the people who are employees of the small businesses, what happens to them? And it's... So we have to get the word out that these centers exist because they can literally go in these centers and get cash. Well, maybe not cash, a check.
Right.
Yeah. Go on, put them right.
Good idea. But so, and these also are kind of one stop. So when you go to the planning commission, you don't have to then drive to the so-and-so and then.
If you even have to go to the planning commission. Because I also in the first week signed executive orders that fast track everything that says if you are rebuilding what you had before, you pretty much can just do it.
Just go. And
by the way, the federal government, starting with the Biden administration, where Biden allowed FEMA to reimburse the rebuilding process, at 100%, normally at 75%.
Yeah.
And President Trump continued that. And then under the Trump administration, they have flooded us with EPA employees and U.S. Army Corps of Engineers to expedite phase one and phase two. So phase one is where they remove the hazardous materials, hazardous materials in the Palisades. Everybody had a Tesla. Well, lithium batteries, you know, the charging centers are totally toxic.
Yeah.
So EPA comes in and removes that. And then after that, the Army Corps of Engineers takes away the debris so that you are left with a plot of land where you can immediately rebuild. So we have over 100 people that have already finished phase one and phase two, which could take more than a year.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I've been in places where there were big fires and watched the process of rebuilding, and it was scrape and then measure and test, and you take 2 weeks before each thing, and then scrape again and then scrape. I mean, it was expensive. It was time consuming. So that's magnificent. And I will say, I don't know what it's like in the local LA area in terms of commentary about or news reporting about the recovery, but the word, even here in Wyoming, it is very positive reporting in terms of the recovery, the speed of the recovery process. So it's remarkable.
Maybe they could give us some help here. It's nice to know.
Exactly. You can sometimes feel the strain of them saying, reporting good news, but it's there. It really actually is. So, which is remarkable. And what about people? I mean, what about the housing? I mean, I know because we know some of the same people and we know some people in the same areas, but a lot of people who lost everything lost places to stay.
And, well, places to stay and work.
And so what's going on with that? I mean, are there more homeless people because, you know, of a different slice? Because suddenly a lot of people don't have homes and don't have jobs if they were working at those homes.
Not from Palisades. That is true from Altadena. And that could be true in terms of the workforce. But considering the workforce was scattered, we have no way of knowing.
Yeah.
One of the things that we do in the webinars, though, since the people who are on the webinars are the homeowners and might be some tenants, too. But what we do there is that we've asked them, please let the people that worked in your homes and on your property know that these resources are there for them.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you that word of mouth has been strong because these four centers, they do get, you know, a lot of traffic.
That's great.
Other thing that we're doing is that in the Palisades, there was what's called the historic village. And so there's city-owned land there where there's a library, a rec center, and a playground. And then next door to that was a Ralph's and several other businesses.
Sure.
To me, to recreate a sense of community, I have pushed to get that rebuilt ASAP. And if you think about it, that would have been the last thing that the Army Corps of Engineers and EPA would have thought about, because they're focused on the homes. So I said, no, I want you to prioritize this as well, because what we want to do is clear that out and temporary structures, a temporary library. The Lakers want to weigh in and help rebuild the rec.
That's right.
The Lakers coach lived in the Palisades.
Right.
So if we can get some temporary structures up, people can come back while they're rebuilding their homes. And that sense of community partially could be restored.
And there is no coming back yet. Am I correct? I mean, obviously people who were working there, but there's just no services. There's no.
I know that there's a business or two that have reopened, but for the most part, no.
No.
The other thing, by the way, that happened at lightning speed is the restoration of water and electricity, because, you know, there are a number of people whose homes were not damaged.
Yes.
Filled with smoke. But there are people back living there now.
Really?
So what took months and months and months in the Woolsey and Paradise fire, the electricity has been on for a couple of weeks. Water has been on for a couple of weeks.
Really?
And that was less than, well, maybe a little more than 2 months.
But a lot of people, this is a question, but you know, the toxicity that comes with after things burn, lead paint, whatever it is, right? So that's there. So, but even if your house is not burned, you're right next door.
I know.
And so I think I'm assuming this question, there are neighborhoods where even though my house is just fine, I really can't come back because everything is, who knows what it's like.
It becomes your choice.
Right. I get it.
And I think some people have chosen. But there are some sections where it's more than one house. It might be a whole block. But I kind of would feel the way you do.
Yeah.
Not everybody does.
No, sure. I get it. Yeah, maybe it's, you know, who knows what one would feel like in the middle of that. But yeah, I mean, I was amazed at the devastation. I'm sure everybody was, right? Yeah. Well, is there anything else happening in Los Angeles other than recovery from the fire?
Well,
I mean,
5 days.
Are you still?
And David, in a little over a year, we're going to have the World Cup. So we're starting a series of community-wide cleanups. We did one yesterday. Yes, David, I feel the way you do. Now, listen to this. Listen to this. The beginning of next year, All-Star Basketball Game, U.S. Open Golf for Women, then the World Cup, 8 games played in L.A., but the World Cup lasts 40 days.
Oh, yeah.
All of those watch parties and all going on. That's 2026. 2027, we have the Super Bowl. Then we get around to the Olympics and Paralympics in 2028. We have a lot going on. Have to come back to L.A.
No, I used to run sports programs for the Y, so maybe I should. But oh my God. Yeah, who planned this? So are you getting beaten up about other things that unfairly?
It comes with the job. You know, as mayor, you're expected to solve everything, including the weather.
Right.
The national economy, and you know, but that comes with the job. You know, people need someone to direct that energy.
Sure, absolutely. That part I get.
Grief, frustration, or whatever.
Right. But that's not the part that motivated me to say, Karen, if more time and space would be good to get out the truth. It's the obvious kind of gratuitous, opportunistic stuff that really is a frustrating thing. And then the giving of the platforms
right
to people who are so am I biased? Yeah, sure, you're my friend, but am I stupid? No.
So, well, I think the thing that is troubling to me is that the media would rather put out that because it's more sexy and it gets more clicks,
right,
rather than inform people about what's going on.
Absolutely.
Did both? Okay. But it's very imbalanced.
Yeah. Yeah. Indeed. And I would be remiss if I didn't ask this, but so there was at the beginning of the frenzy, there were conversations about recall, right? Because, you know, it's California, and that's what one does in California. Is that still an active conversation in this world?
No. It's more than an active conversation. It's happening. There, individuals filed a recall about a week or so ago. There is one woman. She was actually the running mate for RFK, Nicole Shanahan, who lives in San Francisco, who supposedly is going to be one of the major backers. And so that has started. They have filed the paperwork to gather signatures. They will have 4 months to gather signatures. But listen to this, David. The city is really strapped financially right now, really strapped. And if they were to succeed, and of course, I hope they do not,
right,
if they were to succeed, we'd have a special election in January that millions of dollars would be spent. But my reelection is in June.
Well,
instead of waiting 6 months,
right,
there would be an unnecessary election in June and then another election in November. 3 elections instead of 2 when the city is completely strapped and the county completely strapped for resources. So recalls have almost become a rite of passage for elected officials.
Right.
The last time the governor was recalled, there were 67 recalls happening in the state, and just about everybody on city council has gone through it. What usually happens, though, is that they never get anywhere.
Right.
To do one now at the height of all the anger and to have, you know, Republicans come after me in the way, and you have Fox. So, you know, you have a platforms coming from a very narrow conservative.
How does that work? I mean, recall just... It's a general event, and then people can say, oh, I want to run?
No, well, that's a good question. That you have to collect the signatures first.
Uh-huh.
And if you qualify, then you can say you want to run.
You want to participate in recall, but it's not separate recalls because there's, you know, there's 16 people who want to run. No. Got it.
But, you know, again, my hope and my focus is that it will not be fruition. It will go the way that most recalls go, and that I can stay focused on my job. So this becomes a terrible distraction. But, you know, I mean, again, I'm not new. I will weather this. We are, you know, mobilizing and beginning early, which I did not want to do. I would prefer to stay 100% focused on my job, but I cannot now.
Yeah.
I am very, very happy with the pace of what is going on in terms of the electricity, the water, phase one, phase two, getting to phase three, where everybody can talk about going back home. That's what I am.
How many phases are there?
Well, I'm just calling it phase.
Yeah.
There are really two phases. Phase one, hazardous waste, phase two, debris. And then after that, you're on your own.
You're on your own.
Sure. Get your house rebuilt.
And is there a lot of, or is there any, I mean, you know, oftentimes after a fire, a big fire like that, there are this sort of the people who want to swoop in and pick up some cheap land.
Absolutely. Absolutely. As a matter of fact, if you drive through the Palisades, there's signs everywhere from contractors, people wanting to, you know, do the work for you. Yeah. We really don't want people to do that. We want to go through a list of contractors that the city's already vetted, that we know are not going to take your money stranded.
Right.
Yeah. And so we encourage people to, you know, utilize the city's database and all the help we can possibly give in the one-stop center.
And I know I can get this from Zach, but would you make sure that I can get it, the website, et cetera, et cetera? So who knows is going to see this? It is definitely not just people from Wyoming. I know that. So that we can put it up there and it be seen again and again, because you can't do it too much. So, and I'm looking at the time, and I know you've gotten to the next thing on the list. So, but is there anything else you would like to say prior to waving goodbye?
Well, yes. I mean, if people want to get involved, I'm going to give you that information too, because as I mentioned, we're going to be having monthly community events. Maybe it'll be a cleanup. Maybe it'll be painting or tree planting. But we want to create the spirit in our town. You weren't here when we won the World Series. 200,000 people peacefully downtown.
How about that?
The electricity of the Dodger win is what we want to see every day. LA Strong is our motto. We are going to rebuild and recover, and we're going to prepare this year to welcome the world to our city next year.
Certainly. The Dodgers, they're based, they're in Los Angeles. That's true.
They are Los Angeles.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, Karen, Mayor Bass, Karen, thank you so much for spending time. And I know you're off to your next event. Don't shut anything off.
I won't. I'm headed to church.
Yes, exactly.
And I'm wearing Dr. Blue.
I see that. And I hope down the road, there is no down the road for you. It's like, I'm saying, well, I hope we can have that dinner that was aborted several months back. But, you know, sometime after the world.
When the world calms down.
Yeah, you, right.
And you're in town. Love to see
it. All right. You too.
You're listening to Curiosity Invited with David Bryan here on LA Talk Radio.